الله أكبر، لا إله إلا الله، والله أكبر، الله أكبر، ولله الحمد. الله أكبر، الله أكبر، الله أكبر، لا إله إلا الله، والله أكبر، الله أكبر، ولله الحمد. الله أكبر، الله أكبر، الله أكبر، لا إله إلا الله، والله أكبر، الله أكبر، ولله الحمد. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والعاقبة للمتقين، ولا عدوان إلا على الظالمين. وصلي وسلم على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد، when the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was undertaking his famous and incredible journey known as Al-Isra wal-Mi'raj, the night journey from Mecca to Jerusalem, and the ascension from Jerusalem up into the heavens to go to a place where no human being has ever gone, no jinn has ever gone, no angel has ever gone, no creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ever gone, to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And through his journey, during the journey, he ascended to each of the heavens, each of the universes that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created. And in each universe, in each heaven, there was a delegate from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that was there to welcome the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And these delegates were none other than the Prophets alayhi wa sallam. And as he ascended to the first, to the second, to the third, and so on and so forth, he met even greater and even noble prophets until he went to the seventh heaven, the highest existence. And who was there to greet the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at the seventh heaven? It was none other than Ibrahim alayhi salam. Ibrahim alayhi salam, the man whom we celebrate in these days of Dhul Hijjah and this blessed day of Eid. And just imagine, my dear brothers and sisters, just imagine the scene. Imagine the two greatest human beings to ever walk this earth are conversing with each other, meeting for each other for the first time face to face. And they're meeting in the seventh heaven. Can you imagine the conversation? Can you imagine what was taking place and what was being discussed? Think about what was the first thing Ibrahim said to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to start off this blessed, lofty conversation. And in this is our honor, our value, and our worth. In this is a sign of who we are as a nation, as a community of following the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Because Ibrahim, in that station, from the seventh heaven, he said his salam to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and then he told the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, send my salam to your ummah. Subhanallah. Ibrahim sent his salam to the ummah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the seventh heaven. And through that, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has conveyed the salam from Ibrahim to his companions, and the companions to the next generation, to the next generation, until it was etched into history, and until we ourselves receive this salam from Ibrahim alayhi salam. Amazing if you think about it. Amazing. This is the connection between our ummah and Ibrahim alayhi salam. Ibrahim has started off that with the salam. And subhanAllah, one scholar by the name of Badruddin al-Aini, he wrote in his commentary of this hadith that perhaps this is the wisdom why we say in the salah, we send Allah's blessings upon Ibrahim. It is a response to this salam that was given to us, subhanAllah. So in the salah, when we spiritually elevate our souls into the heavens, we respond to the salam of Ibrahim alayhi salam by saying, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad kama sallaita ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim innaka hamidun majid, and so on and so forth. This, my dear brothers and sisters, is the great man and the connection we have with Ibrahim alayhi salam. But this connection that manifests and takes place in our life daily, five times a day. Think about it. No other prophet is mentioned in the salah except for the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, except Ibrahim alayhi salam. But this connection is also, we see, in the greatest ritual act of devotion that a Muslim can ever undertake, and that is the Hajj. And the Hajj is a symbol of the legacy of Ibrahim alayhi salam. And so Ibrahim alayhi salam to us is a very significant figure. And I want all of us here to reflect upon his story and to think about his story. Because indeed in his story is a profound lesson for us. It's not a story for us to just enjoy and think how great Ibrahim alayhi salam is, which is obviously going to happen. But the story is meant for us to play out that story in our own life. We want to play out the narrative of Ibrahim into our own life. Because indeed, the story of Ibrahim is a narrative that we can act out in our own life, live the story of Ibrahim in our own life, as individuals and as a community, a communal living of the story of Ibrahim. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described Ibrahim alayhi salam as a nation himself. He was called a nation, one man called a nation. إِنَّ إِبْرَاهِيمَ كَانَ أُمَّةً قَانِتًا لِلَّهِ حَنِيفًا وَلَمْ يَكُ مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called Ibrahim, verily Ibrahim was an ummah, was a nation. Because of course with Ibrahim, he did not have many followers. It was just his family and Lut alayhi salam was part of his family. But despite that, the amount of production and value that came out of the followers of Ibrahim, which was really just himself and his family, was so great that it's comparable to a whole nation of people. And so Ibrahim is called a nation, and so it's a lesson for us as a nation and as a community to follow his example. So Ibrahim alayhi salam is an example for us as an individual because he was a man like we are men, and as a community because he was a nation as we are a nation. Now the story of Ibrahim alayhi salam, I want to present it to you in stages. And these stages are the stages that we should go through in our own life, individually and as a community as well. The first stage that we see in the story of Ibrahim alayhi salam is the stage of discovery. The stage of discovery. We learn in the Quran, the earliest stories of Ibrahim alayhi salam was him discovering who he was. Why is he here on this earth? What is his role in the universe? What should he devote his life to? These are the deep existential questions that everyone must search. And the discovery we see in the stories of Ibrahim alayhi salam, so as an example, the story where he went out to gaze upon the heavens, to gaze upon the creation of Allah, to gaze upon nature and the natural world, to discover his purpose. And this is a famous story in the Quran, where Ibrahim went and he gazed upon and he looked at the sun, he looked at the stars, he looked at the moon, and he thought and he used his intellect. And through that, he was able to come to the understanding of truth and the understanding of what he should devote his life to. And in this story, my dear brothers and sisters, is a specific story to the youth that are here today. I ask you to think about the story of Ibrahim, because we are living in a time where our youth face intellectual challenges. When they go to the schools, high school, elementary, university, and they're challenged intellectually about their base and those foundational convictions. They are challenged in the classrooms by their teachers, by the textbooks they read, by their peers. Religion is mocked. Existence of God is seen as ridiculous. This is a time in which the youth face these challenges. The youth must take a lesson and live the story of Ibrahim alayhi salam as he went to encounter the unknown, to encounter the natural world. Think about it, it's quite interesting. The polar opposite that we're living in. Ibrahim went into nature, studied it, understood it, and came to an understanding of truth. Whereas in our times, people go and went into study into nature, and it's a reason for them to doubt the truth. And so it's vital and important that I ask the youth, and this message is to the youth, that as you're encountering your studies, as you are learning, realize truth does not contradict truth. What you really learn about the natural world, which is the ayat of Allah, the signs of Allah, and it is a sacred pursuit to study the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As you study the signs, use the mind, use the intelligence and sift through the rhetoric. Sift through the anti-religious rhetoric, the Islamophobic rhetoric. Because that's all it is. Irrational rhetoric against the existence of God, and so on and so forth. Actually think deeply. When you are taught the theory of evolution, for example, when you are taught about the origins of the universe, actually learn what is evolution. Actually learn what is this study of the origins. And when you actually study and use your mind, then you will find the same outcome as Ibrahim alayhi salam, that he went out into nature. He went out and studied the signs of Allah. And he came out with an understanding and a commitment to truth. And so too as well. If we use our intellect, and if we use our intelligence for the youth who's in school, make sure to use that intelligence and come to that understanding of truth. So this is the stage of discovery of Ibrahim alayhi salam. And it was more so not just about understanding truth, but it was also a discovery of what doesn't matter in this world. And so this is a story where Ibrahim alayhi salam broke down all the idols. A very famous story where he broke down all the idols except the biggest one and left the axe with him to point out the incoherence and inconsistency of the society's understanding. But this is a profound lesson to us, because although he broke down idols in the external world, this is symbolic of breaking down that which does not matter. People would devote their lives to these things that don't matter. In our times, we construct with our hands, in our hearts, idols that don't matter. These are idols that are representations of ourselves. These are idols built from arrogance and jealousy and contempt and hatred and animosity. And we hold so close to these grudges that we hold with other people. It becomes almost an idol inside of us that we devote ourselves to. We feel so much frustration over things, over small petty disagreements with family members and with friends. This is the day of Eid. It is a time for us to make amends. It is a time for us to break down the idols as Ibrahim alayhi salam did with his acts. With our acts of iman, we need to break down the idols inside of our heart that we manufacture with our own hands, that we devote ourselves to. Whether it be things inside of ourselves to prop ourselves up, or whether it be things like chasing after money, wealth, and fame. All these things are these idols that need to be broken within us. And it's part of this process of discovery, where we go and we discover what we are here for, what is the truth, commit to it, and also discover what doesn't matter. What does not matter? This process in the stage of discovery is going from what does not matter to what matters. And the only thing that matters in this world is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We need to sometimes, when we're so engaged in the world, we're so frustrated about things, we're so angry, we need to take a step back and expand our mind and recognize where we are in this world. A dot in this almost infinite universe. Literally a dot. Not even a dot, smaller than a dot. That is Earth. Forget Earth, that is the Milky Way, our galaxy. Just a dot. And then we are a dot within a dot within a dot within a dot. And then think, that is where we are in this universe. Do you really think devoting yourself to that money, fame, or holding that grudge about that way that that person looked at you, or he didn't say salam properly, or he didn't look at you the right way, or he gave you the cold shoulder, and being so frustrated about that, expand your mind and think, what is the point? The only thing that matters for our existence, which is such a small existence, is if we connect it to something higher and grander and something beyond this universe, and that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this, my dear brothers and sisters, is the story of discovery from the life of Ibrahim alayhi salam, that we need to play out that narrative of discovery on an individual level and on a communal level. As a community, we also need to understand what matters and what doesn't matter. And alhamdulillah, thumma alhamdulillah, I've seen as I've come here to Brisbane something that is actually quite rare and something that we should all be happy and grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for. And that is what you are seeing here today. Masajid coming together, unity that is not just something that is said on the tongue, but that is lived as we can see here. Where masajid come together and congregations come together. The diversity that we see as well of cultures. You go to a masjid here, subhanAllah, the amount of cultures, that of the diversity there is in all the masajid. This is truly something amazing, alhamdulillah. And so this process of discovery is understanding. Our diversity is not a source of barrier or friction. It doesn't matter what language this other person speaks, what food this person eats. It doesn't matter. At the end of the day, what matters is that we come together to glorify our Creator. This is the process of discovery. The second stage of Ibrahim alayhi salam is then the stage of growth and building. Once Ibrahim alayhi salam discovered the truth and understood it and became a prophet also and received his wahi and committed to the truth and rejected all that didn't matter, then the second stage was growth. And here is where all the trials and the tests came to Ibrahim alayhi salam. Not that there were not trials in the discovery phase, there were plenty trials. But in this phase of growth, we see the tests towards Ibrahim alayhi salam that allowed him to grow and reach the rank of Khalilullah, the beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a rank that no other person shares except the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the stage of growth is a stage of overcoming challenges, obstacles, and tests, and being able to grow closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so I want to focus on two of his tests. The first one was when, subhanAllah, he prayed so much and he made dua for a son, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted him Ismail alayhi salam through Hajar. And the first thing he was asked to do is leave them in a barren desert. And you can imagine, and those of you who are parents can attest to this, if your child is left, maybe even an older child, 8, 9, 10, 12 years, is left at the airport, for example, in such a safe place, security everywhere. There's no place for them to go, really. The anxiety that would ensure within us, that subhanAllah, they're there, we left them there, what's going to happen, etc., 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 etc. You can think about all the thoughts that are going through your head. Can you imagine then, Ibrahim alayhi salam, being asked to leave them in a barren desert, no water, no food, nothing. After making so much dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for it, he was told to let go. And you can imagine as he turned away, we often say this story very quickly, and he turned away. You can imagine the emotion of Ibrahim alayhi salam, and we know that Ibrahim alayhi salam had a soft heart. He was awwahun haleem, as Allah described him. He had a soft heart. You can imagine the tears that were going through his eyes as he turned away, leaving them in Hajar and as well. You can imagine the pain when his wife is calling out to him, why are you leaving us? You can imagine that, and every husband can attest to this, that if their wife and if their child is calling out to them in a place of danger and they are made to walk away, can you imagine that test? Can you imagine the pain? This was what Ibrahim alayhi salam had to go through. And in this test, subhanAllah, who is the one that shows the overcoming of the challenge? It is Hajar alayhi salam. Hajar alayhi salam actualizes and embodies in such a perfect way what it means to have tawakkul in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As she ran from Safa to Marwa over and over again with her heart connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This story, pay attention to this story, because this is the story of tawakkul. If you want to know what tawakkul is, it is the story of Hajar alayhi salam. She went and searched on the earth, going from mountain to mountain. She took the means. She was looking. She was proactive. Her heart was connected to Allah. And she never gave up. She never gave up. She went from Safa to Marwa, back to Safa, back to Marwa, back to Safa, 7 times, never giving up. And what happened as a result of this tawakkul, as a result of her proactiveness, as a result of her desperation and her trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? The success, the outcome, the goal came from a place she least expected it. From her crying infant, water gushed forth. And this is the case, my dear brothers and sisters. When we have tawakkul on Allah, when we have our heart connected to Allah, and we search in the dunya for the means and the asbab that Allah has sent in this earth, Allah will provide for us from a place we least expected it. And this is the story of Hajar alayhi salam. And this story is embodied and symbolized in the sa'i that is performed by millions of people in these blessed days. And this is the legacy of a woman. This is the legacy of a woman. To the dear sisters in the audience, I tell you that this is your legacy. This is the legacy of Muslim women. And this is the status that Islam has given to women, that the greatest Hajj ritual, the greatest pilgrimage that a person can perform, must follow the footsteps of Hajar alayhi salam. And it is important for us as a community to reflect upon this, to recognize the status of women and understand that our growth is through the growth of women. And we need to ensure that women are being able to thrive in our community. And we need to make sure and think about this very deeply, that women do not see themselves, and our dear beloved sisters, our mothers, our aunts, don't see themselves as first-class citizens of Australia and second-class citizens of the Ummah. And I'll leave it there. So this is the stage of growth. And of course, we know the most immense trial, which was the trial where he was told after this to sacrifice his son. And subhanAllah, in this is a great lesson. Because Ibrahim alayhi salam, he knew that anything Allah commands is good. And he was confronted with something that seemed not so pleasant. But he had to realize, and this is a realization we need to come to, that Allah loved Ismail more than he loved Ismail. That Allah loved Ibrahim more than Ismail loved Ibrahim. And so Ibrahim had that trust that if he follows Allah, the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if he follows the guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then the outcome will always be the best. And that is exactly what happened. That is exactly what happened. And in this story is the story of sacrifice. And that is the story of being able to sacrifice what's most beloved to us. You see in the story of Ibrahim, this theme constantly comes up of destroying that which distracts the heart. Of destroying that which distracts our heart from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Or distracts everyone from the khutbah here. As they're staring at a drone, it seems there. Perfect timing, alhamdulillah. But this is a story of understanding the things that distract our hearts from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that we need to get rid of it. And sometimes our family can be a source of distraction. This was the second stage, and it was a stage of growth. And I want to say on a communal level, it is the stage of growth on a communal level by building. Ibrahim alayhi salam built the Kaaba. He built the Kaaba. He built the structure. And he built this, and we see why he built it. For the glorification of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَطَهِّرَ بَيْتِيَ لِلطَّائِفِينَ وَالْعَاكِفِينَ وَالرُّكَعِ السُّجُودِ. And purify the house for the people who will do tawaf around it, who will stay in it, who will do the ruku' and the sajda. That this was built as a establishment of the glorification of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so us as a community are engaged in this building of institutions, of organizations, that sole purpose is the glorification of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on a communal level. Just as Ibrahim alayhi salam built the Kaaba, we are also building houses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And again, this is a positive point that we need to be grateful to Allah for. That alhamdulillah, the Brisbane community, by and large for the most part as well, privately funded. You see, most masajid around the world, government funded. Alhamdulillah, as a community, Brisbane has purchased multi-million dollar properties all around Brisbane. Alhamdulillah. And we've been able to come together and build these masajids and establish the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala throughout the city. And this is a great and noble and a beautiful blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And of course, from there, it doesn't stop there. The building and the growth on a communal level, we need to recognize that building institutions or organizations for the glorification of Allah is not just the spiritual dimension, although that's the most important, but also the moral component, the moral dimension of glorification of Allah. And that is things like community activism. The Muslim communities and the institutions that have been built, we should use them. And the unity that we see, we should use it as a platform from community activism to actualize the names and attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in our community. Allah is Ar-Rahman. He is the most merciful. So let's manifest that mercy on a communal level. Let's manifest and glorify Allah by actualizing this mercy and compassion of our Lord. By actualizing it so that we show mercy to the environment. So that we take care of the environment. SubhanAllah, we are at a global crisis with climate change. It is a global crisis. The oceans are acidifying. The great creatures and signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we are here to protect as stewards, they're fading. The signs of Allah that are sacred, these are the symbols of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we're meant to respect, and they're being neglected. And the Muslim community should reflect on ourselves and understand and recognize that this is our responsibility as the slaves of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to take care of His creation. Other issues and social issues that many people face in the Australian community, these are things for us to recognize that our benefit should not be within a bubble of our organizations, but this should be something that is integrated and spread. Our influence, our positivity of our community, the positivity of Tawheed, should spread so that all the Muslims, all the people of Brisbane can appreciate the Muslim community of Brisbane. This is something that is very, very important for us to understand, that the glorification of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through our communities is not just through the salah, although that is the most important, but it is also through bringing out good. Amr bil ma'roof wa nahi anil munkar. This is the encouragement of all that is good and discouraging all that is bad. And this is really essential, that we build these types of communities and build on what we have, alhamdulillah ta'ala. The third and final stage is the stage of legacy. Once Ibrahim alayhi salam discovered the truth, committed himself to it, destroyed what didn't matter in his life, and then he engaged in the process of growth and development through passing the immense trials and difficulties that faced him, then it was through that that his legacy was forged. And subhanAllah, we are living the legacy of Ibrahim alayhi salam as billions around the world gather for the Eid Salah, as millions around the world from every corner of the earth gather to perform the Hajj pilgrimage. And each rite of the pilgrimage is a story of Ibrahim alayhi salam, from the Tawaf to the Sa'i to the Jamarat through the Udhiyah. These are the stories of Ibrahim alayhi salam. This is Ibrahim alayhi salam's legacy. And so too as well for us, when we engage in this discovery, when we engage in this growth and pass the trials and tests, then for us is our legacy. And it is not wrong to want a legacy. Ibrahim alayhi salam said, وَجْعَلِّي لِسَانَ صِدْقٍ فِي الْآخِرِينَ. Make me have a truthful mention on the tongue for those to come. The legacy is not about praising yourself, but it is about leaving behind something by which someone will remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whether that be something that is built, whether that be a good word that is said, whatever it may be, these are the legacies that we need to forge as individuals and as a community as well. And this is the best way to combat this Islamophobia, this racism and xenophobia that is plaguing much of the Western world. If we actually act in the story of Ibrahim alayhi salam, where we discover what matters and move away what doesn't matter, where we grow and we build communities and people that bring goodness to everyone around them, that help people with their needs, that actually are relevant and help the community with all the problems of the community, then you will see the legacy of the Muslims in Brisbane. And subhanAllah, this is the sunnah of the Muslims wherever they went throughout our history. Wherever the Muslims went throughout our history, the Islam came, interacted with the culture of that place, and produced the best. It produced the best from that culture. And so you see the legacy of the Muslims in Spain through the institutions of Andalus, through the great knowledge that was built in Andalus, the libraries of Andalus, through the libraries of Timbuktu, through the civilization of Mansa Musa, through the civilization in India and the subcontinent, the civilization in the Middle East. You look to the Muslim world and you see these symbols and remnants of a great culture that was developed how Islam mixed with that culture. And in places like Malaysia and Singapore and Indonesia, there was no military conquest there. Islam simply came and Islam did what it does. And that is when Tawheed mixes with anything, it produces beauty, color, and amazing and wonderful civilization. And so too, we are now part of living history, where for the first time, Muslims are now encountering and interacting with North American culture, with Western culture. And maybe many of us have come from different countries, but realize your children are Australian. They are born in Australia. And so this is something for us to understand, that how is Islam going to mix with this, interact with this culture and bring about the best? And that should be our goal, that we bring about the best, and through that will be the legacy of the Muslims in Australia. And for generations to come, bi-idhnillah, bi-rahmatillah, people will look to the first generation of Muslims that came and said, look at the good and the greatness that this community brought to the country. Look at the goodness and the prosperity that they brought to the nation. So this is the three stages of Ibrahim alayhi salam's life. And I will conclude by summarizing the first stage, the stage of discovery. The second stage, the stage of growth. And the third stage, the stage of legacy. And the way for us to remember the message of the khutbah is through the proclamation we'll be saying for these days. And that is Allahu Akbar, La ilaha illallah, and Alhamdulillah. La ilaha illallah. That is what we discover. Nothing in this world matters except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allahu Akbar, that is a glorification of Allah that we seek to do in our individual life and our communities as well. And Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah will be said when inshallah ta'ala we enter into that Jannah and we see the legacy that we sent on this earth. Alhamdulillah alladhi hadana lihada wa ma kunna linahtadiya lawla an hadana Allah. Praise and thanks be to the one who guided us to this. Were it not for the guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we would never have been guided. This is the message, my dear brothers and sisters. Allahu Akbar, la ilaha illallah, alhamdulillah. Allahu Akbar, la ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Walillah alhamdulillah, jazakum allahu khayran, wa salamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.